The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the other side of the glass in our space age control room. Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, Thursday, February the 6th, 2020, Ronald Reagan's birthday, sharing a birthday with my blessed mom, bless her heart. So she's been gone too many years, but of course, when you have a mom who's got a birthday today, I want to recognize it. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to this program. If you're near a computer, you can hear the program anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our podcasts are available for you. Just go to buckmastershow.com and you'll be able to listen to all of our programs. The live line number is 790-2040. If you have something to add, we would be more than happy to welcome you to the conversation. We begin with Mike Hammond. Mike has been in the commercial real estate business since 1978. He is the founder of Cushman & Wakefield PICOR, Southern Arizona's leading independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm. Mike's a very busy guy. He is currently the chair of the six-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He represents Southern Arizona on that board. And among his other activities, Mike is a newly elected board member at the Tucson Airport Authority, one-time man of the year. And I can attest to this, generally great guy. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Very good. Nice to be here, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about, let's begin with I-10. I hear we're finally going to get some improvements through that patch. I don't know, what is it, 10 to 12 miles through the Indian Nation that everybody always dreads driving over there on I-10 up to Phoenix.
Well, that stretch is actually 22 and a half miles.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
And to some people, it probably feels like 2,000 miles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You might remember that it was in the 10-year plan many years ago, and it got pulled out in the Great Recession. And since then, they've been packed. They did most of it, but they didn't finish the Picacho Peak section, the Sacatone section, and they never had the funding also for the Gila River crossing up to Wild Horse Pass. Well, that funding was not available even as early as last year, but with the budget surplus, the governor decided to accelerate that 22-mile stretch, and between last year and this year, I believe the amount that he is suggesting go into the budget is around $100 million to jumpstart that that section. And if all goes well, it'll be done in four tranches, I believe, starting from the Wild Horse Pass, the north side, northwest, I guess, side, and then they'll be moving southeast to finish that last 22-mile stretch and make it a three-lane highway.
Within what period, then?
Well, the construction of the first phase is scheduled, I believe, for 2022.
Okay.
And because it takes a while to design and work through the process. And then I believe every year thereafter, they would do a segment. That's the plan. So we would be looking probably at 2026. It seems like a long way away, but it'll come quicker than I think.
So even though it's a federal highway, an interstate, how does that work with the state fund? You know, you said there's the budget with the state. How does that work with the state? How does that work with federal money on a federal highway?
Well, remember that federal money is really two buckets. The federal gas tax, which we pay here, and the state gas tax, which we pay here. So that money really is our money coming back to the state. That bucket has been stressed for a lot of years now. And because of that, that stretch of I-10 was not even in the budget until the governor did a one-time allocation out of the surplus. It allowed the project to proceed.
And we just had a question from a listener. Is anything happening with the proposed I-11 interstate? The listener must have read my mind, Mike Hammond, because that is my next topic. There are three routes that have been considered for this proposed I-11. One of them would be through the downtown Tucson area. One is Avra Valley. What's the third one? What am I missing?
The third one, I believe, it peels off before or after in a different manner, Tucson.
Oh, okay.
But the two ones you're referring to are the ones that are in play right
and
now.
And the controversial one has been Avra Valley. Mm-hmm. Of those, do you think it is the most feasible? And why, Mike Hammond, would you think that? Or do you think that?
Well, first of all, from a personal perspective, or even an ADOT board member perspective, I don't have an opinion which is the best route. I will tell you, according to the preliminary environmental impact statement, my sense is the route through Avra Valley will be the preferred route that ADOT identifies. Now, remember, that's a quarter of a mile swath. It doesn't pinpoint exactly where that road's going to go. Now, the other alternative through downtown is as a community, we'll make this decision. But it would entail 6-8 lanes in each direction, a lot of right-of-way, a very expensive route. It would overburden a highway that's already overburdened. So I think the objective path will be the one through Avra Valley. I do understand the controversy over going through such a pristine area, and the community will have to decide. I think we all need to keep in mind that there's no funding for the I-11 corridor right now. So it's until that funding's available, it'll be kind of lines on a map until it's many years down the road.
Something that isn't a lot of years down the road is the reauthorization for the Regional Transportation Authority. Mm-hmm. And as the Southern Arizona representative of the Arizona State Transportation Board, you sit on the RTA board, and of course the reauthorization will come up in 2026. So some very big decisions have to be made here, mm-hmm. Mike Hammond.
Yeah, I think the first question the voters will have to ask is how have we done with the first half-cent sales tax? And I think any objective look will say it's been very well spent per the plan within budget. So I think we've got a good story to tell. The current plan is to put the extension before the voters as early as 2022. There's a 39-member Citizens Advisory Committee that is extremely diverse. They are putting together their thoughts on some of the major buckets when there may be some maintenance money in there. There certainly will be some road expansion money. There's a lot of different environmental technology improvements. There's a lot of different buckets that committee is looking at. You know, then you've got the cities, the municipalities. They are going to submit their preferred projects for the extension by, I believe, June 1st. And you take those plus what the citizens say. We're going to start formulating a series of options, and then take it to the community for comment. And hopefully, we all agree that we do need to extend that half-cent sales tax. Virtually all of the construction you see going on around town right now is RTA money. Without that, there would be almost no road construction going on.
All right, we're going to go now to the live line. We have caller Carl who has called us, and Carl has a question. Mike, there is a little silver knob there that you'll be able to adjust on the board there, so you'll get your audio level. And now let's hear Carl. Hey, Carl.
Yes, couple of questions on I-11. Who is it that's paying for the environmental studies, and what is the input for the various routes from the Center for Biological Diversity and the Sierra Club and the other environmental groups?
Well, first of all, the funding is coming from ADOT, is my understanding. There may be some other sources, but certainly ADOT is leading the study. My understanding is there's no favoritism in the input. So these organizations, whether they be individuals or environmental groups, have the same amount of input. It's probably a valid question to say, how is that input taken in and digested and regurgitated in an amendment to the plan. So I think all groups that have an interest should be paying close attention to the process and make sure that they're at least getting into the into the conversation correctly.
And what was this, Carl? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What was the part about the Center for Biological Diversity? What was that part of the question?
Well, I'm wondering, what has been their input on these things so far? Are they opposed to it, or can they be bought off, or what?
Well, I don't know the specific input. I will tell you that they I'm sure they're giving input.
Okay. We're going to take our break right here. Mike Hammond, lots more to talk with Mike about. We'll transition from Mike as the member of the chair of the Arizona Transportation Board, talk a little bit about commercial real estate with Mike, maybe talk a little bit about the Tucson Airport Authority. Lots to cover with Mike Hammond on the Buckmaster Show. But right now, Mike, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors. Mike, do you like bakery goods?
Certainly.
Well, okay. How about my favorite bakery? Have you been up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle? Have you been up there yet?
No, I have not.
All right. Mona's is located at the northeast corner. Swan and Sunrise, they do a beautiful job with every kind of a beautiful pastries. The Danish Kringle is their kind of their centerpiece, what they do. But they're open right now for lunch. The grill gets all fired up at 6:30 in the morning. And Mona's is ready to serve you breakfast. If you want breakfast right now, you could do it, because the lunch is by no means just lunch. You could do breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Not only a link to Mona's, but all of the great partners who make our program possible. Be right back with Mike Hammond. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. They've got their chocolate festival. Oh, man, if you love chocolate, all-day chocolate event coming up on Saturday. Stroll galleries and shops while sampling delicious gourmet chocolate confections. Mike Hammond is with me in studio. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it, Mike? It is a nice little town. Silver City, good starting place before you head over there. Visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the listing of, well, all sorts of great places to stay and great ideas for things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Mike Hammond is with me, and Mike wears many hats. He was wearing his transportation hat in the first segment of the program. Mike is the current chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board. He represents Southern Arizona on that board. He's a governor appointed Mike to that position, a 6-year position. Governor appointed Mike back in 2015. He was newly named to the board of the Tucson Airport Authority. He serves on the Regional Transportation Authority Board, and on. But we do have another call, Mike, and I think it might be related to transportation. Let's go to the live line and Richard. Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, Bill. Thank you. Mike, I wanted to ask you, the I-19 improvement just south of I-10 with all the walls, I think that might be part of the RTO.
RTA.
Mm-hmm. The walls look great. I think it's a very impressive-looking project. But it's just 1 mile, and we're 3 years into it right now, and it looks like they've got at least another year because there's just one crew down there. Any idea when we might get that good-looking project wrapped up?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that I know the specific time frame, but I do know that the project has been a very complex project, so there's a lot of stop and go and movement along that route, so that may be why it's taking so long.
Let's switch to commercial real estate. Was this one of the best years, 2019, for commercial real estate?
Absolutely. Our numbers started improving around 2011, and every year I kind of went up a little bit and peaked. In 2016 and 17 and 18 and 19 have been about the same. It is one of the strongest period overall of real estate. Remember, too, from where we were coming from. We lagged the rest of the state in coming back. You heard a lot of good news coming out of Phoenix far before we started having our own good story to tell. But it's been very, very strong.
Yes. Mike Hammond is the founder and the principal of Cushman and Wakefield PICOR. So it was a good year for the company?
Yeah, and I would say for the community, sometimes we can have a good year in a recession need movement. It's stagnation that slows commercial real estate. But industrial especially, small business especially, was very, very strong. Any spaces we have for sale or lease 5,000 square feet and under have pretty much flown off the shelf. The vacancies in spaces available to lease and the amount of product to buy in that range is really, really, really tight. So it's been a very good year for small business.
And Mike, Tucson is one of the hottest residential markets now in the country. Does that help the commercial end?
Well, certainly population growth drives overall economic growth. We still have some ways to go in the housing sector to get back to the number of units. I think we're at about 4,000 units per year right now, mm-hmm. where probably 6 to 7 would be considered kind of healthy, but we're going in the right direction. The challenge, from what I understand, is developable lots. There's not a lot of land to subdivide.
One of the areas that you're very interested in has been the relationship with the commercial real estate in Southern Arizona and Sonora, Mexico. Has all this talk about cracking down on immigration, has that affected the Sonora market?
Well, it's a very interesting question. Ironically, the immigration, the illegal immigration stuff, the wall stuff, really has not impacted the commercial real estate activity between Arizona and Sonora. What has impacted it are the tariffs, the uncertainty created by tariffs has caused the foreign direct investment to really slow down in Sonora. I saw a statistic where a couple of years ago it was about $200 million a year, and like year to date it was like $30 million. Mm. So you can see, and that's because these investments have a 5 to 10 year horizon. They want to wait and see how the new treaty plays out. Canada's still got to go through their process. We've got, mm-hmm. we're not there yet on the mm-hmm. on the NAFTA 2, as I call it. Mm-hmm. So the industry, ironically, in Mexico that's there in Sonora, are still very positive. Overall, Mexico's probably benefited a little bit from tariffs. I understand China's been going more to Mexico to do their products. So when you get off the border, Mexico's doing quite well. When you get along the border, that's very dependent upon border state trade, tariffs have hurt. And also the kind of the tightening of the border, not just illegally, legal immigration has been tightened, and the lines coming in to whether it's tourism or business have lengthened.
And that discourages things when you've got eight-hour waits. I don't mm-hmm. know if it... I think at one point it was 6 to 8 hours. That might have been around the holidays, but there's been some really long wait times.
There still is, but I look at it from a commerce perspective. There's been longer wait times for trucks, too, and 80% of what crosses our border right. is produce, and it's mm-hmm. time-sensitive. So anything that delays a truck a day when these products may ripen in 5 days, but you need to get them to market, and so it's been a challenge for industry. Again, having nothing to do with the border issues of wall and immigration.
You were a longtime member of the Tucson Airport Authority. Now you're one of the 8 board members. What are the challenges facing our airport, Mike Hammond?
Well, I think first of all, I haven't even attended my first board meeting, so. As far as challenges specifically, I don't know. I will tell you, I've always felt it's been one of the best-run airports. Mm-hmm. And I think folks that come in and out of that
sure.
airport would agree with it.
It's a good experience.
Very good. I think the reason I was asked to get on the board is I have some economic development background, and there's a lot of real estate that might be available to industry that I might be able to help structure the transactions and give advice on it as a board member. So I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of potential around the airport for economic development. Most airports are economic engines beyond the landing and taking off of planes. So I'm excited.
And the redo of the airport in the concourses, it really looks nice.
It does.
With local vendors mm-hmm. there. Of course, there's a major airport expansion project that will be coming up with the runways. That's going to be a huge project.
I believe it's over a $200 yep. million dollar project.
It's got a huge price tag. Yep. And people don't realize the airport has a lot of real estate. It's a big footprint.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now we're talking about developing some of that land.
Yeah, and remember, it takes no public money. All of this is either funded by revenues from the airlines, vendors on site, and also federal aviation monies to keep our airports first class.
Okay, to wrap this up, Mike, I've got about 2 minutes, so let's kind of circle back some of the issues we've talked about, the topics, I-10, the improving that area, bringing it up to to standard, really, through the Native American tribes. That will be a project, I think you said, that will begin in hopefully 2023 and maybe carry out over 3 or 4 years.
2022, I think.
2022.
It'll be earlier. It's being designed right now.
That's good news right there. Yeah. And we've got the sensitivity about Avra Valley with the I-11. That issue is one that is not immediate. That's down the road. But one that's kind of coming up is RTA, and that is a process that's going on. I think you said there are nearly 40 members of the community who are meeting regularly to talk
Correct.
About what do we want in the reauthorization, because the 20-year authorization, the voters said yes in 2006, so that's 2026, which is not that far away.
Yeah, it's coming up quickly.
So, what have we not covered? We've covered a lot of ground here, Mike. The meetings, these are open to the public, the board meetings for the transportation board?
Absolutely.
And where do you meet in different counties every month or what?
We go all around the state. We'll be in Bisbee next month. We'll be in Chinle, up in the Hopi
oh,
Reservation.
Wow. Beautiful area.
We've been down to Yuma last month. We go all over the state.
All right. Mike Hammond, thank you very much. Mike, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Mike Hammond, founder of Cushman and Wakefield Pie Corps here in Southern Arizona. Of course, he's also the current chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board, newly elected to the board of the Tucson Airport Authority, and also a member of the Regional Transportation Authority. Mike's a very busy guy, and we appreciate him coming by the show today. Buckmaster continues with renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy right after the break.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks, you really pulled a fast one on me. I've not heard that particular music before, that bump music. Is that in
diversity.
It's in the Buckmaster Show bump music package, but maybe somewhere down the line we don't usually get to it, which is good. Kind of mixing it up here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things. We get all of our plants there. Speaking of plants, I am so glad we spent an hour the other night covering everything, because it was a hard freeze here in Tucson again this morning. The bird bath, you needed an ice pick to get through that this morning. It was so thick. Anyway, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They've just got greenhouse after greenhouse loaded with beautiful things, and I'm sure they have everything all temperature sensitive, so they were all in really good shape during these cold nights. The 13-acre site's also home to Zocalo, all the great merchandise that Jan, the owner, goes to Mexico, personally picks it out. Beautiful things, hand-carved desks, beautiful Mexico, Latin America, European things at Zocalo Village. It's zocalovillage.com and greenthingsaz.com. Let's go now for our monthly visit to his observatory in Vail, Arizona. He is Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. David is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Imagine discovering or being a part of a discovery of 23 comets. So it's pretty amazing. David Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm very well, and I'm going to start with a surprise question to you, Bill.
Okay, go
ahead.
How
long have you had the Buckmaster Show now? It's got to be a number of years.
Well, thank you for asking. On January 3rd, the Buckmaster Show launched into year number 10. So that means 9 years, 9 full years on the radio after 22 very successful years hosting Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6.
But the show has been very successful, and congratulations.
Yep. Thank you.
Going into your 10th year. This is a real privilege and an honor to be part of it.
Well, we're honored to have you as one of our great contributors on the program. David, have you seen any comets recently?
Yes, I did. Just about 3 nights ago, Comet Pan-STARRS is in the sky. It can be seen with a telescope. You need to know where to look for it, though. It's right near the double cluster in Perseus, which is one of my favorite things to look at in the night sky. And it just blows you away when you look at it. And then just near it, you see this little comet moving very, very slowly from night to night through the sky. And I just saw that a few nights ago.
It was, of course, you'd have to have a telescope to see it.
Yeah, this one is not bright enough to be seen with binoculars or the unaided eye. You need to have a telescope, and you need to know where it is.
One time we saw the Aurora Borealis. We were on an airplane, believe it or not, shows how long ago, Pan American, flying from San Francisco to London. We did the polar route, and for about 10 minutes outside the window there, one of the most beautiful spectaculars of the Northern Lights. I've always wanted to see them again. Perhaps be better to look at them from the ground looking up. Have you seen them?
Yes, I have. My first view of the Northern Lights was on in 1960, but my first real view was July the 8th, 1966, at a summer camp. It was absolutely spectacular, and virtually covered all of the northern sky with rays and curtains and all kinds of beautiful colors, mostly green, shades of green, but occasionally a little bit of red. And just last week, I was in the Yukon.
Bill. Really?
And the frigid Yukon at Whitehorse. And while I was there, we had a charter flight that took off from Whitehorse and went right to the Arctic Circle. We crossed the Arctic Circle, and we saw the most beautiful, even though the solar activity is pretty low right now. There was only one sunspot on the sun at the time. We had a brilliant display of northern lights, and it was really mostly very good in the north and east, but it was the entire sky surrounding the plain everywhere was covered with some form of greenish aurora. It was magnificent.
Was this
a capital M and a capital T.
So was this some kind of a special deal that was put together for some people or what?
Yeah, it's an annual conference about the Northern Lights, and it's called Aurora 360. And I think it's open to the public, but you need to register, and it's not free. But it's certainly was very, very exciting for me to be able to see my old friends, the Northern Lights, again.
Hey,
what a beautiful thing.
What a lucky, very fortunate that you had to see them. I'm so glad that went well for you. David, quick question from producer Tom. He was wondering about an object out in the Kuiper Belt. It's known as Planet Number 9. Could it be a real planet or a comet, Tom asks.
Well, I mean, it's a good question. It's not certainly not a comet. It has never been seen. And there was an astronomer, Mike Brown, who was really definite on killing Pluto. In fact, he wrote a book called Why I Killed Pluto and Why It Had It Coming. And I think they should impeach him. But because they're not going to do that, I mean, it's one of the things that I enjoy talking about when I give my public lectures, the status of Pluto. I have a little bit of a section in there.
I bet. We'll save that for another visit.
But I have fun, a lot of fun doing it.
How is the new...
Just as far as Planet 9 is concerned, I don't believe that they'll ever find it because I don't believe it exists, but it might, and it might turn out to be some place out there that's causing objects to change their orbits a little bit. It's possible.
David Levy, I understand you've gone to a new telescope.
Yes, I have a new telescope at last. It is called Eureka. It is a 12-inch diameter reflecting telescope with a truss tube. That means there's the bottom part and the top part, and then just poles that connect the two of them and keep everything aligned. It is a wonderful telescope. And if you don't mind me giving a little plug, it comes from Explore Scientific.
Okay.
And it is a wonderful, wonderful telescope, and I'm using it almost exclusively now. I'm really, really enjoying it.
David, let's move right to the quote of the month. Here is the Dr. David Levy quote of the month.
Thank you. The quote this month is in honor of the fact that the impeachment trial ended yesterday. So it's going to be from a senator, but not one who's alive now.
Okay.
It's Senator Carl Schurz. And he gave a lecture out in Faneuil Hall in Boston on April the 8th, 1859, on the eve of the Civil War. At the time, Abraham Lincoln was running for president. And he said, "Ideals are like stars. You will not succeed in touching them with your hands. But like the seafaring man on the desert of waters, you choose them as your guides, and following them, you will reach your destiny."
Very nice. Very nice. David, I am out of time, but a quick question about any meteor showers you want to let our listeners know about.
Well, we're in a fairly quiet time now. We've just had the Quadrantids, which are the big show in January, but we have Virginid shower coming up, the Sigma Leonids, and then the Lyrids will be the next big one at the end of April.
All right, David Levy, my very best to your lovely wife, Wendy.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, thanks a lot. See you next month.
Thanks a lot. David Levy will be with us next on Wednesday, March the 4th. David, one of our great contributors. Another great contributor is attorney Don Luce. Don is the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He is up next in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on this Thursday. Quick plug about tomorrow's show. Friday Focus interview will be with the state Senate president. Karen Fan will be with us right after we have, that's about 24 hours or so away, but right now it's Don Luce after this.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Don Luce, attorney Don Luce, with us of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don's one of two dozen people that I am just so proud to have on the Buckmaster Show roster. He's our contributor, as I say, on law, and he's the author of two very popular books. They're doing very well, so well that there are enhanced versions of them, both books going into second printings. Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. And if you've been around a while in Arizona, you know we've got some really kind of goofy things that might find you'll find very interesting when it comes to Arizona laws. State planning in Arizona, this is something everybody needs to know about, get their estates in order. Both books, as I say, in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you.
Well, here we go. The ban on sanctuary cities has been introduced in the Arizona legislature. This is kind of interesting, and I'll probably bring this up tomorrow, Don, when I interview the state president, Senate President Karen Fan will be with me. It's already illegal, Don Luce, under state law, my understanding, but Republicans in the legislature want voters to enshrine a ban on sanctuary city policies in the state constitution.
Pretty much. So in 2010, I'm sure your listeners will remember SB 1070 was passed by voters.
Sure.
And it contained several provisions, some of which were challenged legally and determined to be unconstitutional and struck down, but some of which withstood the legal challenge, including one that requires police officers to cooperate with immigration officials. So SB 1070, which has been on the books for about a decade now, essentially does the same thing that this proposed constitutional amendment would do, which would be to require that police officers cooperate with immigration officials. Governor Ducey, in his State of the State address, said that, and I'll just quote because I think it's a really interesting quote, there, in our state's second largest city, referring to Tucson, of course, a troubling proposal to defy federal law was soundly and overwhelmingly rejected by Democrats and Republicans alike. It wasn't even close. So what he was referring to, of course, was the ballot initiative in November that allowed Tucson voters to decide whether Tucson would officially be declared a sanctuary city. That proposal was defeated by basically a 2-1 margin. So when he said it wasn't even close, it mm-hmm. wasn't even close. So he's using that to essentially prompt the legislature to put on the November ballot a bar from it would bar local police from refusing to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement efforts. This constitutional amendment was introduced Wednesday, so yesterday, by Republican T.J. Shoup. And as I said, it's backed by Governor Ducey. So one would presume that if it passes the House and Senate, it's going to go on the ballot.
But if we already have... I don't really see what this next step, why this next step is necessary.
Well, so if you were skeptical about the motive, you would say that this would drive voters to the polls because this is sort of a marquee ballot issue.
Okay.
But I wanted to mention that it reminds me in large measure of a similar state constitutional amendment that was on the ballot, I think it was about 5 years ago, that defined marriage as a union between one man and one woman.
Uh-huh.
That proposal was passed by the voters and the Constitution was amended. However, at the time, the people who were opposed to the ballot measure said, look, it's already a statute. It's already in the books, and that definition already exists. And the proponents of the ballot measure back then said, well, yeah, it may be a statute, but statutes can be overturned by judges, and we want to make sure that it's more than that. Mm. And so they were proposing a constitutional amendment. Subsequently, of course, the United States Supreme Court essentially sanctioned gay marriage, and both the constitutional amendment and the statute currently have no effect, no legal effect.
And Representative Randy Freese, representing Tucson area, he's the assistant minority leader. He called this issue a matter of local control and said it was also redundant because of the existing prohibition.
It's redundant, but interestingly, it's not prohibited. So a constitutional provision can and sometimes does cover the same subject as a statute. Now, statutes are generally legislatively created. Constitutional amendments are voter passed. So the law gets onto the books in different ways, but oftentimes the subjects overlap, and in some cases the subjects are substantially similar.
Good point, Don Luce. An appeals court has thrown out something that we've talked about a lot on this program with you, Don. It's known as Arizona ballot harvesting, the harvesting law. So I assume this probably won't be the last word on it.
Correct. The Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, has said that he is going to appeal this Ninth Circuit decision to the United States Supreme Court. Now, it's interesting to note that this 11-judge panel was divided. There were dissenting opinions, so it was not a unanimous decision. But to go back to ballot harvesting, this is a concept that's been around in Arizona since 2016. And what it essentially does is it prohibits me from coming to your house, because I'm not a family member or caregiver of you, and collecting your early ballot and then taking it to the polling place. Arizona law has been on the books for about 3 years. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said that, well, you know what? That law violates the Voting Rights Act, and it also violates the Constitution. And here's why. It has a discriminatory impact, according to the court, on American Indian, Hispanic, and African American voters in Arizona. And the court said that the Republicans, who essentially sponsored and enacted the statute, did so with a, quote, discriminatory intent. Now, I don't know about you, but that's, in my estimation, that's pretty strong language. That, you know, finding that the Republicans acted with a discriminatory intent is pretty extraordinary for a court.
Yeah,
which,
for a judge to say that. I mean,
which exercises in most cases extreme restraint in being critical of the litigants or the parties involved. But Fletcher, who wrote the opinion, was clear that he didn't think that all Republicans who backed the measure harbored racial hatred or animosity. Instead, and this is from the opinion, the false race-based claims of ballot collection fraud used to convince Arizona legislators to pass the bill and other factors cumulatively and unmistakably reveal that racial discrimination was a motivating factor.
Wow.
Well, and then he goes on to say that Arizona has a long history of race-based voting discrimination. And so you'll remember that it wasn't too long ago that Arizona was actually on basically a court list as being one of the states that violated systematically the Voter Rights Act.
Right.
And so a lot of our history, I think, has come back in this case to allow the court to strike down this measure which prohibited ballot harvesting. And as it now stands, that law, which has been on the books for slightly more than 3 years, is unenforceable.
Will that affect the election?
Well, the Democrats use it as a method to boost their numbers in minority communities. And they have intentionally sought out early ballots that haven't been mailed in the minority community, and then they would actually hand deliver those ballots to the polling place. So they're thinking that they're going to be able to boost their numbers because they can now resume that type of ballot collection. Under this law that was struck down, that was prohibited.
All right, Don Luce, author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books in their second printing. Don, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We all hope you have a great afternoon and evening.